This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for tuning in once again to your daily dose of deprogramming. My name's JD. This is, of course, the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast. Today is the 10th day of February. We're live right now, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for tuning in once again. Also, since we are live, you guys can go to truthfrequencyradio.com and get into the chat room there and talk to some of the other listeners and have a little bit of a feedback session for the show. Absolutely love having a forum here with you guys. So great way to get involved is to go to Truth Frequency and get into the chat room today. And anyway, happy to have you guys along for the ride today. It's going to be a big, big day. Today is Tuesday. Monday's ugly sister, as I like to call it. But we did make it through Monday, all of us together, ladies and gentlemen. So congratulations, a round of applause in order for that for sure. The weather has turned around here in Missouri. It is absolutely beautiful today. Again, we had a very cold spell yesterday. I probably shouldn't be talking about that given the fact that Boston probably has like 35 feet of snow right now and anybody up there in the Northeast is just getting dumped on. So maybe I'll digress away from the fact that the weather's super nice here. I want to give you guys a heads up. We have a short news segment today. It's going to be about a half an hour. Just in this first little bit. And then we're going to have two guests on today. So not only are we going to have an awesome guest in the second hour, Jamie Hanshaw, we'll be talking about, well, Jamie Hanshaw has done a lot of research on the MK Ultra programs, the Monarch Butterfly projects, things like that, the mind control of children, and also about the creation of culture, how the powers that shouldn't be use the media to kind of showcase some of their occultic or maybe even satanic tendencies. And one of the ways they really like to do that is at large television events or large sporting events. This example we're talking about right now had been the Grammys that just happened a couple of days ago and the Super Bowl that was last weekend. A lot of people were wondering what in the heck happened at the halftime show because it was pretty darn bizarre. And Jamie Hanshaw has done a great job breaking down all of the occult imagery and some of the other things that went on at both of those. And we might even get into a little discussion about Walt Disney and the Disney organization today too. So just depends on how much time we've got. But in the second part of this first hour, so in about 25 minutes from now, Gerald Celente is going to be joining us, and he's a very busy guy. I'm sure he probably doesn't need a lot of introduction for those of you out there who follow economics or geopolitical events. But he's a trends forecaster. He's been doing it successfully for a very, very long time. He's a very busy guy, and so he is going to give us a little bit of time today, just about 25 minutes of his time, so we can try and get our minds around just what is going on around the world economically, geopolitically. Obviously, all eyes are on Greece right now, so that'll probably be a subject of our discussion, but I'm also aching to ask him about the IMF's Plan B, his trend forecasting on gold, precious metals, and oil, and some other significant events that are going on right now. So definitely looking forward to speaking with Mr. Celente in about a half an hour from now. So if you guys are involved with that or excited about that, tell me in the chat room. Let me know that you guys like these guests because I'm pretty excited about this one. So anyway, as I said, going to be a short news day today. If you guys want to go to redpillreports.com, share it with your friends and your family would definitely appreciate that. But in the show section there at the top, you can find out more about Gerald Celente. You can find his website and also look at some of the indications that he's put out recently. And you'll also be able to find out some about Miss Jamie Hanshaw and about her show that she does with Freeman over on freemantv.com. Again, really excited to have these guys on. But again, If you go to the show section today, you'll be able to see all of the headlines from around the world. And again, I'm going to try and buzz through some news here pretty quick, but I definitely won't get through it all today. I hardly ever get through it all in the normal day, so you'll probably want to go there and check out some of that stuff. So anyway, redpillreports.com, that's the place you want to go. You can find out everything about today's show and about the news for today at that site. Definitely appreciate you guys supporting that site. Definitely appreciate you guys supporting the radio show, and certainly appreciate you guys supporting Truth Frequency. I know all the other hosts really appreciate it. Okay, let's jump into some international news here real quick. There was a big press conference yesterday between Angela Merkel and Mr. Barack Obama, Barry Satoro, some people like to call him, but they kind of came to a little bit of an agreement yesterday. The tension was palpable. We'll say that. You could definitely tell there's a little bit of tense undercurrent going on between these two right now. And I think that has to do with the fact that Merkel and Holland were in Moscow over the weekend talking to Putin, saying, you know what, we'd really appreciate it if global thermonuclear war didn't erupt on our doorstep, and maybe we've been a little bit short-sighted in our support of the United States and NATO and all of these things they're trying to do. So I think we're seeing Merkel trying to backpedal here quite a bit, and also recognizing that maybe Germany's economic relations with Russia are a little bit more important than their support of this crazy NATO initiative of trying to surround Russia economically and geopolitically. Anyway, during this little press conference, Merkel basically came out and said that success in the Ukraine is anything but certain at this point. And again, it was a notably uncomfortable, ununited joint press conference. And anyway, but both the leaders there, Merkel and Obama, did seem to agree on one thing, if only one thing, that military solution in Iraq or in Ukraine was not a possibility. There's not going to be a military solution there. So this was followed by what appeared to be President Barack Obama conceding to Merkel idea, this whole military, you know, intervention, military support, military solution to Ukraine was kind of sort of off of the table. That's essentially what Obama said. Although he did say that it was still going ongoing analysis, so still under ongoing analysis, according to Mr. Obama there. But anyway, hopes remain high for a diplomatic solution, and President Obama even actually concluded that we are not looking for Russia to fail. Our preference is for a strong, vibrant, and confident Russia. So maybe here on this particular point, Barack doing a little bit of backpedaling. It's kind of difficult to say, but that's what's going on there. And then on a similar related note, Lithuania, who is also an EU member, they came out in the news yesterday saying that they believe that Lithuania should provide defensive arms to Kiev. And here's where I'm getting a little confused about this. Maybe you guys can help me out. Are people attacking Kiev right now? I mean, really, fundamentally, are the separatists in Donetsk and Lugansk, are they mounting sorties against Kiev? Because I haven't seen that in the news at all. So, okay, here we have Lithuania again. We've got John, for the love of God, McCain, trying to get these people in Kiev weapons. We've got Poroshenko trying to get any kind of support from troops there. You got men disappearing from the country on the west side there because they don't want to go fight their countrymen. So defensive weapons. Here's where I'm getting confused. So we're mounting offenses from Kiev into Donetsk and into Lugansk. These whoever it is that we're actually capable of paying, Poroshenko is actually getting, you know, to go and attack these quote unquote aggressive separatists. These Ukrainian troops, the Kievian troops, go to the east side of the country and get themselves in a pickle. They get surrounded by the separatists, who are not willing to give up their homes for anything at this point, and who can blame them. And so now the Ukrainian Kievian military side is surrounded, and now they're saying, oh, we need weapons to defend ourselves. Well, it's kind of like you saying, I'm a really big fan of honey, and JD, it would really be great if you could go to that beehive over there and bring me back the honey. And then I go over there and I start screwing around with the bees to get your honey for you, and I'm getting attacked by bees, and now I'm saying, hey, it'd be really cool if I had some beekeeping gear because I'm being attacked. But at the same time, you need to reflect on the fact that you're the one who sent me there to get the honey in the first place, and that maybe if I hadn't been messing with the bees, I wouldn't need any beekeeping stuff. So I don't, again, this whole concept that we're going to send them defensive weapons and that those defensive weapons are not going to be used offensively against the people in Donetsk and Lugansk is ridiculous. It's ludicrous. But Lithuania jumping on the bandwagon here, saying that he would like to provide military weapons, defensive military weapons and arms to Kiev. So obviously, he and John, for the love of God, McCain are pen pals. But anyway, these comments are coming from, you know, right after the EU power like Germany and France both objected to the idea of arming Ukraine. They kind of cornered Mr. Obama into that position, conceding to Merkel. We just had that discussion a second ago. But anyway, the Lithuanian foreign minister is on record now saying that we need to support Ukraine not only financially, economically, but also militarily. And he says not with soldiers, but that is, he says that's not under discussion, but at least by supporting their troops with weapons to defend. So again, NATO putting their nose right into the bee's nest and then saying, hey, wouldn't it have been a good idea to give these people some beekeeping gear? Anyway, I don't agree with all that. And I think all of you probably can read between the lines on this one, but I don't think I don't know that the situation in Ukraine is going to get a lot worse. I'm starting to really feel like the NATO alliance is not holding up nearly as strongly. I mean, France and Germany, we really need them. That's not they're not people that we can just kind of say, okay, we still have support, but we lost, you know, two of our largest coalition members there. I don't see us being able to succeed there. And I think that the more we talk about it, the more people are starting to realize that we are creating a humanitarian crisis there. You know, we had the report from German intelligence yesterday about the number of casualties being ridiculously low compared to what Kiev is putting out in the news. You know, Kiev said about 5,000. German intelligence is saying it's closer to 50,000. That's a pretty big disparity. And again, you know, the more people that start understanding that we're responsible for that, the less likely it is that they're going to be able to mount some kind of initiative that's successful there. And they're going to have to keep doing things in the middle of the night. We had that story yesterday. We were waiting for some kind of verification on it about the ginormous, gigantic blast that went down in Donetsk on the overnight on Sunday. A lot of people speculating that it could have been a small tactical nuke and things like that. But anyway, RT has finally gotten on top of this story, and they say pretty specifically that it was a chemical plant that was under rebel control. And both Kiev and the militants right now are pointing fingers in opposite directions in terms of who is responsible. So anyway, the powerful explosion, I put it in the news bulletin yesterday, but it will also be in today's, so you can go. I don't know if it was a tactical nuke. There's a lot of people thinking that it could have been. It certainly did look like it. Here's where I get fuzzy on this whole thing. They're saying, first of all, that it was a chemical plant. Okay. Let me read the article here. Powerful explosion took place at 10:50 local time on Sunday. Local militia reported that a military chemical plant, DKZH-1, was the target of Kiev's artillery shelling. Initially, what they're saying, okay, is that the militia there in Donetsk is saying it was the target of Kiev shelling and it hit a military chemical plant, all right? And the militia forces would not confirm if there were casualties, first of all, which seems unusual to me because the blast was absolutely ridiculously huge. But then they said that there was a fire there, which started after the explosion, and then they said that it posed no threat of a chemical spill. Now, if you go back and look at the size of this explosion, it's, again, ginormous. I don't even have words to describe how big this thing is. It does look like a tactical nuclear bomb. I mean, it's huge. It's got the mushroom cloud and everything. If you had an explosion go off that large at a chemical plant, and this is a chemical plant, according to Kiev, that was used to produce military equipment, military weapons. So we're talking about military grade explosives and military grade chemicals and things like that. How is it that that explosion could be that large and there would not be a chemical spill? Why would there not be people evacuating the area here? Why would there not be a fire that was just raging? I mean, we're talking about a pretty massive environmental, ecological, you know, explosion here if it was, in fact, at a chemical plant. And then it goes on to say that the Kiev side is blaming the anti-terrorists or the anti-separatist because somebody there dropped a cigarette butt is what they're saying. And so, I mean, the whole story to me just seems crazy. But again, I would think that if it was a tactical nuke, we'd have a lot more information about it right now. There'd be a lot more people on the ground. The guy who took the video camera, I would think that even a small nuclear detonation would create at least a momentary EMP, and it would have messed up his camera. I think what we saw was a large controlled demolition of a chemical processing plant. But I think they're trying to cover up the fact that it was chemicals because they just don't want us to know how much worse that area is right now. But it's difficult to say. I'd love for you guys to check those videos out and tell me what you think, because I just don't know. Let's see here. Well, okay, getting some news right now that we might have a guest rescheduling going on here. So just bear with me here, guys. Okay. Getting that noted. Okay, moving on here. Anyway, go check out that explosion. Tell me what you guys think. Let's see. Somebody says they don't think that mushroom cloud would make a mushroom cloud. Chemical plant wouldn't create a mushroom cloud. I agree. I agree with that. I just don't know. I don't have the artillery knowledge that I would need to have to be able to, especially from, you know, a grainy cell phone video from, you know, 8 miles away. It makes it a lot more difficult. That's why I was hoping somebody would be there with a Geiger counter and say, hey, this is significant. It's off the charts here right now, or it's not. You know, that seems to me like a pretty good way to get to the bottom of this. But anyway, moving on here, the leader of France's right-wing Front National Party, her name is Marine Le Pen, she has called Brussels American lackeys over the EU's Ukrainian policy, and she further accused Washington of attempting to start a war in Europe and expand NATO towards the Russian border. She then went on to accuse European leaders of turning a blind eye to the Ukrainian government's bombing of civilians, adding that both those in Crimea and the eastern Ukraine believed that the country should be federalized. And definitely can't argue with that. And Le Pen has regularly criticized the EU for its policy on Ukraine and its alleged lack of independence from Washington. Again, I do think that perhaps Barack Obama, maybe he's just toting the line on the news because he doesn't want to look like a jerk. And perhaps he's tasked John McCain with getting a whole bunch of things done under the curtain there, or behind the curtain, under the scenes. And the reason I believe that also is that when Merkel and Holland were in Moscow talking to Putin over the weekend, it was at the same time that John Kerry was in Kiev, you know, trying to basically get some support for arming them. So it does look like, regardless of what Barack said with his little meeting with Merkel the other day, that potentially there is still a lot going on behind the scenes. I'll know for sure once Joe Biden's son quits his job over there. If that happens, then that'll be pretty significant that maybe they're packing up the tent and going home. But I don't know. That's a pretty big prize. Ukraine is a pretty big prize just sitting over there, especially given the relationship to Crimea and the military base there of Putin's. I don't know. But back in September, Le Pen told Le Monde that the ongoing crisis in Ukraine is all of the European Union's fault, and saying also that Brussels had blackmailed the country to choose between Europe and Russia. And I totally agree with her there. Again, a lot of uprising going on right now, and a lot of people paying attention to what is going on internationally. And I think that a lot of these parties are starting to recognize that the fallout from a global war with Russia, even if it's just an economic one, is going to be more than they want to bite off, I believe, at this point. And Bulgarian protesters have held a large demonstration to condemn the government's plan to allow the setting up of NATO military command bases on that country's soil. So this demonstration assembled in front of the presidency building in the capital of Sofia on Sunday, and then later marched to the parliament carrying banners that bore anti-EU and anti-NATO messages. And the demonstrators right now currently in Bulgaria are calling for the resignation of President Rosen Plevneliev. Ooh, I can't believe I said that right. That's amazing. Woo. There we go, on a Tuesday. All right, so again, more uprising, more people being anti-NATO around Europe, and who can really blame them, I guess, at this point. So what else is going on? Let's get away from the NATO and Ukraine situation. Officials in North Korea test-fired 5 short-range missiles into the sea off its eastern coast on Sunday, according to South Korea's defense ministry spokesman. And he told the AP this over the weekend. The missiles flew about 200 kilometers before landing in the water. These are considered ultra-precision anti-ship rockets. And on Saturday, they were planning on deploying the Navy, according to – and this is the South Korean Navy, I'm sorry. So on Saturday, in response to these ultra-precision anti-ship rockets being potentially launched by North Korea on Saturday. South Korean officials threw their boats in the water so they could keep a better eye on the thing that was going on. And again, the missile test came after South Korea and the United States began a naval drill last week also. The two allies have been preparing for a large-scale military drill known as the Key Resolve and the Full Eagle exercises that Pyongyang sees as a major threat. Nuclear-armed communist North Korea has continued developing ballistic missiles and rockets despite sanctions and warnings from the international community. The South's military has also expressed concerns, claiming that its northern neighbor has developed missile technology that could reach the U.S. mainland and allow it to mount nuclear bombs on a missile. Is that necessarily true? Difficult to say, but certainly we'll work with Pyongyang's party line. They would love us to believe that they could pull off some sort of nuclear global annihilation if they had to. But I don't know. Will it happen? Who knows? New pictures have come out also purporting to show ISIS militants publicly beheading a man after finding him guilty of practicing a sorcery in another brutal execution committed by the extremist group. Again, if you're in the Middle East, you don't want to have a magic ball or one of those, fortune telling. If they suspect you of sorcery, that's one of the things that they will mess you up for. Saudi Arabia, ISIS, you just don't want to go there and deal in sorcery. You don't want to do the crystal thing or any of that stuff. So anyway, that's what's going on there. Moving on here. Jordan has launched 56 different air attacks against ISIS in revenge for the death of their pilot. Again, 56 airstrikes on the Islamic State targets in revenge for the murder of the Jordanian pilot. And the country's Air Force chief said that in three consecutive days were just the beginning of campaigns planning, again, to bid the avenge of the 26-year-old's death. And again, they say that we have achieved what we were looking for, revenge for Muath, who is the name of the pilot who passed away. But this is not the end. This is only the beginning. So again, Jordan on the warpath right now against ISIS in retaliation for his murder by ISIS the other day, or alleged murder by ISIS the other day. Let's see. Moving on to Marseille, which is a town south of Paris. There, a group of hooded armed gunmen with Kalashnikovs reportedly opened fire at police in the southern French city of Marseille just yesterday. The attack came during the visit of Prime Minister Manuel Valls. The shooting was reported by Reuters, citing a police source, and about 40 police officers have been dispatched in response to the shooting. Of course, they have not caught anybody as of right now, and the shooting allegedly was not a terrorist attack, according to the newspapers there. They said it was related to drug gang wars. So there you go, shooting in Paris. But isn't it funny how many Kalashnikovs keep shooting up in the news in Paris? It's funny how's that whole gun control working out for you right now? Good question. Saudi Arabia potentially could be committing war crimes right now because they are forcing prisoners into armed forces, essentially. They're forcing prisoners to go to Syria and to take part in military action against insurgents there. There's been an official classified document. It shows that the authorities of Saudi Arabia have ordered the release of a group of the most dangerous criminals who have been sentenced to death in exchange for going to fight in Syria. Prior to their deployment in Syria, the convicts are to be trained in unconventional warfare, terrorism, or in what is euphemistically described as jihad. And the group of convicts includes 105 Yemeni, 21 Palestinians, 212 Saudi Arabians, 96 Sudanese, 254 Syrians, 82 Jordanians, and a whole slew of other people. It's unlikely that this group is going to be the only group that is going to be deployed by Saudi Arabia. But Saudi Arabia's release of convicts with death sentences and their forced use as insurgents is a pretty gross violation of the Geneva Conventions. The conventions regulate, among other things, the wartime rights of civilian and military prisoners. So obviously this deployment to Syria is likely to constitute forced use of prisoner and could potentially lead to the prosecution of the Saudi government at the International Criminal Court in The Hague. Not a good thing, in my opinion, right now, to be unleashing a group of people who have already been sentenced to death in Saudi Arabia to essentially just turning them over into the wild in hopes that they're going to do what you want them to do in Syria. That seems almost as stupid as us trying to arm moderate Muslim extremists. That just seems very, very silly to me that we would be doing something like that. And it's also silly that Saudi Arabia would be doing something like that. But there you go. Moving on to some national news right now. I'm kind of slowing down on the news right now just because it does turn out that Ms. Hanshaw might not be able to join us for the second hour today. So we may have a extended news segment that day. We'll probably open up that hour, probably open up the phone lines. And of course, if Gerald Celente has a little extra free time, we'll see if we can't get him to stick around as well. So anyway, lots of exciting stuff coming up in the next half an hour and the hour after that. Anyway, moving on to some national news right now. There's another story coming out of Ferguson. A lot of you guys know I grew up in St. Louis, so this stuff is pretty important to me. But right now, there is a pretty big lawsuit going on, filed against the St. Louis suburbs of Ferguson and Jennings, and they allege that the massive fines and jailings over minor offenses amount to a municipal scheme designed to brutalize, punish, and to profit. What are they talking about? Debtor's prison. They're talking about people who are getting tickets for no reason, victimless crimes, and then having to be put in jail because they don't have enough Federal Reserve notes to essentially pay off these oppressors that are trying to keep them under their thumbs. Anyway, the lawsuits were filed on Sunday evening, just before the six-month anniversary of the fatal police shootings in August of unarmed teenager Michael Brown. They allege Ferguson and Jennings neighborhoods They allege that Ferguson and Jennings, neighboring minority-majority municipalities in North St. Louis County, are violating the U.S. Constitution by jailing those unable to pay for mounting fines, and offenders are often locked up for weeks at a time in overcrowded and unsanitary conditions. I won't go into this whole thing, but we'll just say that Ferguson last year made $2.6 million in court fines and fees, mostly related to traffic violations and other minor offenses. This total made out to be the city's second largest source of income, or 21% of its total budget. That is oppression and criminal activity, ladies and gentlemen. Hang right here. 3 minute break, guys. Gerald Celente, be right back.
Chris and Cherie Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Down the rabbit hole with Popeye, Tuesday through Friday,
Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. I'm so excited right now. I can't even contain myself, ladies and gentlemen. We've got an amazing guest here lined up. For those of you guys who don't know, Mr. Gerald Celente, he founded the Trends Research Institute back in 1980. He's also the author of a couple of national bestsellers. One was Trends 2000. The other one is Trend Tracking, Far Better Than the Megatrends. And he's also the publisher of the internationally distributed quarterly Trends Journal, which I cannot recommend highly enough. Prior to founding the Institute, Celente was a government affairs specialist and an executive assistant to the Secretary of the New York State Senate. He earned an honorary doctorate degree in law from the National University of Health Sciences and a master in public administration from the West University of Virginia there. Also, for more than 3 decades, Gerald Celente has built his reputation as a fearless teller of the truth, an accurate forecaster, and an analysis whose expertise crosses many arenas from economics to politics, from health to science, and more. And most important, Gerald Celente is a pure political atheist. He is unencumbered by political dogma, rigid ideology, or conventional wisdom. His motto is one that I can absolutely agree with. Think for yourself, ladies and gentlemen. He observes and analyzes the current events from future, and he forms future trends, seeing them for what they are, not as what he would like them to be. It is my absolute pleasure to welcome the one and only Gerald Celente to the program. Gerald, thank you so much for joining us on Red Pill Reports today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Thank you for that lovely introduction.
Oh, man, I got to tell you, as a side note, I'm an absolute huge fan, and I'm absolutely looking forward to picking your brain a little bit today. And I know you only have a short amount of time, and I just want to thank you again for taking some time out of your schedule. I guess right now, since you are kind of the guru of trends forecasting, in terms of geopolitics and economics, we should probably look at the largest geopolitical and economic ball of wax that's on the horizon right now. All eyes to me are on Greece. What in the world is going to happen in Greece, in your opinion, sir?
Well, you know, Greece is a big one, but it's not the biggest in the sense that it has economic implications, but they're really, it's the canary in the mine shaft, so to speak. Mm-hmm. We don't get the news here in the States of what's going on with the discontents among people in their countries that have been robbed of their money under the name of austerity measures, mm-hmm. and given to banks and the big investors who made bad bets. That's all it was. Ireland, Portugal, Spain, one after another. They're forced to bail out people who made bad bets. And of course they always blame, well, you know, it's these social programs. These workers are getting too much. So we got to cut back on their wages, and we're going to cut back on their pensions and benefits, and their disability and their retirement benefits till after they die. Then they could start getting their benefits. So, what's going on in Greece? There'll probably be some kind of an agreement, the bigger story is that it's showing the weakness of the Eurozone and the Euro itself. When people go back, if they knew the story of what happened and why so many people really went on to the game of the Euro, it was because, you know, Europe was racked by war between the First World War and the Second World War, and they were sold the bill of goods that by having a united currency, you wouldn't have wars. And that's why so many people went with it. And I know I was there. I spent, you know, time. I had a lot of friends there. And I knew the culture of what was going on. And really all it was is a takeover. it's the multinationals grabbing their action a lot easier by dealing with one currency and one set of rules, so they could do a lot more grand manipulations at a much easier level. So Greece is probably, they'll cut a deal. I really don't think it, you know, I can be wrong, of course, you know, I don't know, I don't have the inside knowledge. But from what I'm reading and what I'm looking at, I believe they'll cut some kind of a deal. They'll make it work. The Syriza party isn't as radical as they're presenting it to be.
Okay.
Because if it was, he would be saying that we want to jump out of the euro. The euro is a disaster for us, and we don't want any part of it. And by the way, that deal was manipulated through the Goldman Sachs gang. And the guy that was the head of the European division at that time that pushed it through, his name is Mario Draghi. That's when they brought Greece in. Greece wasn't qualified economically to go into the eurozone, so they cooked the books.
Ah, okay.
And the guy that did the book cooking, his name is Mario Draghi, and of course he's the president now of the European Central Bank.
Mm-hmm.
So Greece, everyone knew that Greece was not qualified to go in. So they lied their way into becoming a member of the euro currency. So that to me, if Syriza was really true to their word, they would drop out and say, listen, we're just not paying you. And that's the end of the game, man. You know, we're defaulting on the payment. We can't pay it back. We're going back to our own currency.
Mm-hmm.
See you later. And actually now they're also pushing for war reparations that Germany owes
mm-hmm.
them. And also that they were forced to give Germany a loan during World War II. So they want their money back. So we'll see where it goes. But to me, the big ones, of course, are also Ukraine
yes.
and the United States move into it. And again, the news is being totally skewed to make it seem like Russia was behind this whole thing, when in fact, anybody that wants to take the time to do the research, besides reading our Trends Journal, which we have it all documented, all they have to do is go on YouTube and listen to Victoria Nuland, our Assistant Secretary of State,
right.
whose husband is Robert Kagan, who's the prime slime of that neocon movement. And and there she is on the they picked up her phone call with Jeffrey Pyatt, our ambassador to Ukraine, and talking about the overthrow of the Yanukovych government and how they're going to put, quote, yats in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there's her at the National Press Club in December 2013, with flanked by two signs, one Chevron, one Exxon.
Right. That had to be a coincidence, right, though?
Yeah, right. and telling actually the arrogance that Ukrainians are Europeans, and that's their future.
Right.
That's news to a lot of the Russian Europeans, and I think the place borders Russia, if I'm not mistaken.
I saw that in a pamphlet once, I think.
Yeah. He did. Huh? Yeah. And of course, the issue that doesn't make the news is that Joseph Biden's son, Hunter,
yes.
I love Coke Biden, is on the board of directors of Burisma Energy, the largest energy company in Ukraine, as well as Devon Archer, who's the business partner of John Kerry, Secretary of State Kerry's stepson, Christopher Hines, of the 57 variety kind. He's also on the board of directors of Burisma Energy. So the people don't know what's going on, and they're buying the propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
And the propaganda is really building up. We're now bombing Syria. Remember Obama said, we're not going back into Iraq. We're just going there to save them Yazidis on the mountain.
Right.
And everybody knows what a Yazidi is. You got them living all over the neighborhood, you know.
Yeah.
And people bought it. And, of course, they didn't put troops back. They put advisors.
That's right. Well-armed advisors.
Well-armed advisors. And I'm a guy that's old enough. I was draft bait during the Vietnam War. And that's what they called them back then.
Right.
Advisors. And I have to tell you, this sickness, this it's a mental disease as I've been thinking about it, this penchant for war, it never stops.
Mm-mm.
Like what happened, we did a piece with this Brian Williams and how he's been prosecuted by fellow prostitutes. And And, you know, here this guy's playing G.I. Joe and makes up this story about war. It's always glorifying the guys that saved them and, you know, this whiter than white, golly gee whiz guy, right. You could trust me. And all they're doing is selling war. And we pointed out in detail how a book came out in 2008 by Scott McClellan, who was the former press secretary under George Bush. The name of the book is What Happened. And how he goes in detail how they pressured the media to buy the lies and how the media bought them and sold them. And it's quotes from Brian Williams, Katie Couric, Jessica Yellen, Charlie Gibson, one after another, saying that they were pressured by the White House and their corporate bosses.
Yeah. Well, it's not surprising, really. I mean, fundamentally.
But it's there. Mm-hmm. It's there. And no one wants to admit to it.
I find it interesting that Williams has taken so much heat over lying about Iraq, while at the same time nobody's looking at Bush or Cheney or Rumsfeld or Condoleezza Rice or, you know, like, we've got some pretty other significant liars in the room that maybe we should be pointing our fingers at as well. No, we're just going to totally, you know, lambast Williams. I mean, he's a prostitute. What do we expect him to do? You know what I mean? That was almost his job. I don't know. I'm not surprised by it at all.
Oh, no, not at all. But what we're saying is, and the point of the piece is, it's going back to the beginning of this conversation about geopolitics, where they're leading us to war again. We're only getting one side, and they keep rolling out the same old flunkies to throw out their crap.
Right.
Like this guy Emerson, the guy that said, you know, in there's cities in England that you can't go in because they're Muslim.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I wrote in my book Trends in Trends 2000. I had just been going through it a little while ago, and this little Slimer did the same deal when the Oklahoma City bombing happened.
Oh, you're joking.
No. No, here, I got it right here, actually. Here we go. Hours after the bomb went off, CBS Evening News featured Stephen Emerson, a ubiquitous terrorism expert, who eagerly presented his bias as objective analysis. He goes, this is quote, "This was done with the intent to inflict as many casualties as possible." He's talking about Oklahoma City.
Right.
"That is a Middle Eastern trait."
Wow.
How's that for hatred, you little son of a...
Right.
Yeah. Wow. How's that, you little low-life, little piece of crap of a man?
Wow.
You know that, don't you? That killing a lot of people, that's a Middle Eastern trait. And we all know that. And I guess, hey, I guess the Israelis picked up on it too, because they did a great job in Gaza.
That's right.
It's down in the Middle East. They only killed 2,100. That doesn't hardly makes the news. And how about the Americans? I guess from bombing people in the Middle East, they picked up those Middle East traits that little low-life Emerson was talking about. Mm. And they only killed about 1 million over there in Iraq. Hey, how about Afghanistan? Another lovely day.
Right.
Wait, look at Libya, our humanitarian mission launched by the Peace Prize winner, the Pulitzer Peace Prize winner, or piece of crap that launched a war, Obama, against a sovereign nation that did nothing to us.
That's right.
And killed an estimated 30,000 people and has now destabilized the entire region.
Mm-hmm. And how many of those destabilized regions had banking systems that were not affiliated with the Rothschild dynasty before all of this went down?
You got it. And Gaddafi was the biggest one.
That's right. That's right. Wasn't he trying to go back to a partial gold standard as well?
Yes, he was.
Okay.
Yep.
I want to talk a little bit, Gerald, about anything that you might know that's going on kind of behind the scenes right now. I've been hearing these reports coming out from the IMF about something that they're calling a Plan B. I know that there were a whole bunch of people, as far as I can tell, meeting in Turkey yesterday. Was that the G20 going on in Turkey? Is that significant, the meeting of Turkey, while these countries are potentially thinking about changing their currency standards and things like that? What do you think?
Well, what's happening is that many countries, for two reasons. Some countries are going to negative interest rates, like Denmark, and they're doing it to protect their currency because the euro is getting battered so badly because Mario Draghi, again, launched the quantitative easing, which is a scam that only boosts the equity markets. And in anticipation of the Draghi, who said he was going to do quantitative easing, now you're looking at the European equity markets at 7-year highs. When they did it over in Japan, they have a different name for quantitative easing. I think the Japanese name is Abenomics. and they got their equity markets have gone up 57%.
Oh, wow.
When the United States launched quantitative easing in 2009, our equity markets went from essentially 8,000 to about 18,000 now. Now, this is at a time when you go back to all of those countries that I mentioned in the regions where the standard of living has dramatically declined among we the little people, while the equity markets have flourished. And you see the numbers. I'm not making them up. The Oxfam report that just came out, next year 1% of the people will own 99% of all the dough in the world.
That's just insane. I mean, it's just insane. It's like this criminal cabal has reached the pinnacle of criminal cabalness, you know?
We've never seen anything like this in modern history.
Right.
This is unprecedented. And the people keep taking it and bending over and bowing down. And so anyway, going back to the meeting in Turkey, in Istanbul, about the interest rate issue, that's on one end, the people and the Swiss trying to protect their currency. The other ones are lowering interest rates in hopes that by having a weak currency, their exporters, and the same thing also with Denmark, of course, they have to keep their currency low because their exporters won't be able to sell their stuff if your currency is so high. But that's not going to work if people aren't buying stuff.
Right.
So what they're doing is they're grasping for straws. They don't know what they're doing. And that is not this is not a speculation. The proof is in the biggest central bank in the world, the United States, did not know what it was doing when the panic of 08 hit. And you don't have to believe me. All you have to do is read a review of the minutes, salient points of them, and you can see they didn't know it was coming down, didn't believe it was going to happen, and denied it when it did happen. So these aren't bright people. They're shrewd people.
Okay.
They're slimy people.
Right.
But they're not bright. You know, a murderer could really be really great at doing, murder. But that doesn't make them a bright person.
I understand.
And these people are doing murder in a different way. It's murder, rape of our lives and livelihoods. Mm-hmm. So they could pump up their buddies. Because one of the trends, just wrote briefly in the Current Trends Journal, the top one is the grand manipulation. And that, of course, is written by Dr. Paul Craig Roberts for us, who's the former Assistant Treasury Secretary under Reagan, and about how this whole thing is being manipulated at all the different levels, the geopolitical level we were talking about and the financial level. And another one trend we're writing about is bankism. And that was written by Naomi Prinz for us, who wrote the book All the President's Bankers. This is not capitalism.
No.
It's bankism, because in capitalism, there's no such words as too big to fail. And when you put bankism and grand manipulation together, what you have is fascism. And that's what's happened. It's the merger of state and corporate powers.
Yes, to an extent that I don't think we've ever seen before. I mean, the system's got to fail at this point. There's been so much robbery and you know, collusion. It's insane. I mean, just look at the mortgage crisis scandal and the MERS institution and the seed company. I mean, just about everybody's mortgage in the country right now is potentially had the chain of title broken. These derivatives that they've leveraged out of the mortgages here. I mean, there are stories that are under the radar here that are just so large that I don't think anybody even wants to talk about them, because the propensity to just blow this whole thing wide open, I think, is coming down. I'm guessing, here's my question then, I guess, Gerald, is are we going to see more of these kind of surprise announcements from different central banks, the surprise unpeggings and things like that? Are we starting to see infighting going on between the central banks as everybody is kind of jostling for position?
I don't see any infighting right now.
Okay.
Because they're all in the same game and they all know the deal. When you go back over 2014, for example, and you look at the amount of downgrades on world economic growth for 2015 that came from either the IMF or the World Bank, one organization after another on a global scale, you know, said, hey, things aren't good here. So they know how bad it is, and they're mostly in collusion to make this thing work. And when I say they, I mean, you know, the puppet states of America.
Okay.
And so they're really working tightly to make this thing happen. I'll give you an example. You had, when the markets were in trouble, back in the last quarter of 2014, and they started to unravel, when the Federal Reserve finally ended its official quantitative easing, right?
Mm-hmm.
They ended, the markets are really plummeting. They ended on a Wednesday. All of a sudden on Friday, over in Japan, they come out with round two of Abenomics. Out of nowhere. This is after the first round of Abenomics, just a month prior for the third quarter results, showed a 7.2% decrease in their gross domestic product. This is after a year of Abenomics, and now they doubled down on it.
Right.
But when you look behind what they did, they took the pension funds, the Japanese pension funds, the public funds, and rather than just buying Japanese bonds, what they noted in this massive bailout to the equivalent would be of the United States pumping in $3 trillion a year.
Ooh.
Compared to comparative GDPs.
Mm-hmm.
From the Federal Reserve, the Bank of Japan's, what they announced was they're going to also invest in stock markets, both national and international. And then you saw the stock markets explode again.
Right.
So when I talk about the collusion, now they're all in it together.
Okay. Well, then I have to ask about the other player that's come on the scene recently, and that would be the BRICS organizations. Now, how are these two, because I'm with you, I think that there's obviously collusion going on between the Bretton Woods stuff and the BRICS bank, but how, do you see them working together? Are they all trying to work towards the same goal here, or how is BRICS going to play into this?
I don't think BRICS is going to have the power to make a difference.
Really? Okay.
Because when you look at the countries, like Brazil, let's take that one, they're in a recession.
Mm-hmm.
They're way down because of the other brick, and that's China, one of the other bricks. And here's the equation. It's a very simple one. If the United States and Europe aren't buying things, China's not making them. And if China's not making them, Brazil, Chile, Australia, Canada, Bolivia, all of the Russia, all of the rich natural resource nations are selling less of their product. So people say, you know, this decline in oil prices, you know, that was something that happened because they wanted to punish Putin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's take a look at copper prices. China consumes 40% of all the copper produced each year. Not anymore. They're in a terrible slowdown.
Hmm.
And so this isn't about oil and Putin. It's about commodity prices. You have 5.5-year lows across the board, 5.5 to 6-year lows. You could buy a ton of iron ore rebar, reinforcement rod, as well, in China for cheaper than you could buy a ton of cabbage.
Really?
Yes, there's too much supply and not enough demand. So when you're looking at the BRICS, you keep going through them. So you have Brazil, Russia, China. We just hit those, right?
Mm-hmm.
And India. You know, India is always a toss-up. And India is not going to go anywhere if people aren't buying stuff and they're not making stuff. So, and again, of course, you know, the other sideline they have is all of these call centers and anything that the United States and could outsource to them for cheaper money, for cheaper help.
Right.
You know, I love getting these calls. You know, oh, hello, this is Rajesh from Citibank. Yeah, hi there, Rajesh. How you doing?
Yeah.
You know, so if we're not exporting jobs or services there, they're not going to do well. They're always a toss-up, and they're protecting the rupiah as well. And then the other brick is they just threw the S on there, and that's South Africa. And they're not going to be much of anything, any place, anywhere. Of the many countries I've gone to, there are very nice spots around it, but yeah, it's not one of the places I like going back, you know.
Right, right.
You know, it's an anything goes at a lot of times. You know, I don't see wealth and prosperity around the corner there.
Okay.
So you don't have a lot of strength among the BRICS. As much as they want to pull it off, they may be able to be eroding slowly at the United States as a world reserve currency. And indeed, it has declined already from about 80% to some 60%.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at trade in the yuan, for example, the Chinese currency, it's like that 2.5%, 3% on a global basis.
Okay.
So it's very low. And so, but at some point, of course, it will change. But right now, it's in a transition period. And people should really tune into China and see what's going on there. You know, there's outflows of capital in China. And the smart money's leaving there. I mean, they're buying up the rest of the world.
I'll tell you, they're soaking up Bitcoin like nobody. If you go to fiatleak.com, you can watch Bitcoin purchases in real time. And China, I'll tell you what, they buy more Bitcoin than it's staggering sometimes to just sit and watch the flow of Bitcoin going into China right now. Anyway, we've got to take a quick 3-minute break, Gerald. I hope you can hang on for just a few minutes past this break. I want to encourage everyone to go to trendsjournal.com and subscribe to his newsletter. You get a quarterly newsletter. It's fantastic information. You'll get more of what we're experiencing right now with the one and only Gerald Celente. We've got to go to a 3-minute break, guys. We'll be right back. Keep it right here.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR. Did you know that the blue lotus flower was used by the ancient Egyptians as an aphrodisiac to experience feelings of euphoria and ecstasy? And ecstasy. And ecstasy. Did you know that Thai kratom was used by the Buddhist monks to produce a relaxing and dreamlike state? Did you know San Pedro cactus was used by the Native Americans to quest for visions and heal the body? Bouncing Bear Botanicals is your number one supplier of rare and sacred plants and a proud sponsor of Truth Frequency Radio. By clicking on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, you can learn more about a vast selection of entheogens, including Amanita muscaria, also known as the sacred mushroom. So click on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com and you'll also get up to $40 off your next order.
Archaeology, astronomy, alchemy, secrets of the Holy Bible, hidden codes of the Quran, demonology, Tesla technology, solar power, extraterrestrials in the ancient world. More than 500 documentaries, an experimental film lab of cutting-edge music and art, full-length movies, conference reports, and weekly TV shows. The Enigma Channel is the world's first truly global TV station. www.enigmatv.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
Real people, real radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. I do have the bad news that Miss Jamie Hanshaw is under the weather. She won't be able to join us today. But on a better note, Mr. Gerald Salente has volunteered to stick around for just a few extra minutes with us today. And I'll tell you what, spending 40 minutes with Gerald Salente is about as good as it gets, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you right now. So very thankful for him sticking around for just a few minutes. Mr. Salente, before we went to the break, we had just kind of broached the subject of oil. And I know a lot of people out there are probably just wondering what is going on with oil in terms of what the slide might have in store for us here, ramifications of that slide, you know, here in America, and what you think might actually happen in the future going forward, since you're so involved with trends forecasting. What do we think about oil right now?
Well, we, you know, each night as part of a subscription to the Trends Journal, every weekday night, we do trends in the news, mm-hmm. and I cover oil, gold, and the markets, among other things, but every day those three fundamentals. So when oil hit its high of $115 a barrel back in June, you know, I said, well, here it goes, summer driving season, boy, they're going to really ratchet it up now.
Right.
And of course, there was the Ukraine crisis, and the Middle East was heating up again. And oil started going down. I said, what's going on here? This doesn't make sense to me. And then, of course, as Ukraine crisis kept heating up, I said, I wonder if this is payback for Putin, because 45% of Russia's GDP relies on oil and gas exports. And then as time started going by and I started looking into it deeper, our analysis is that this is, again, this is a supply and demand issue. And demand is down around the world. And supply has increased at the same time. And as I mentioned earlier, it's not only in oil, it's in commodity prices from as I said, from nickel to iron ore to copper and on. Mm-hmm. So now you go and bring it into the everyday life. Look at the Christmas sales they had before Christmas, 70% off. There's too much product out there. This is unprecedented. This is a new trend. It'll start only beginning a couple of years now.
Hmm.
Things used to go on sale after Christmas, not before Christmas. They have too much product out there. And it goes back tying in it again when you have, right here in the States, we have now the gap between the rich and the poor is the widest since, wider than actually during the Gilded Age.
Wow.
So people don't have the money to buy things.
Right.
And there's too much supply of product, whether it's finished product or commodity product. Now to put it back into its broader context, who else is it hurting? Well, it's hurting more than Putin. Of course, they love to see Venezuela get wrapped, and they're really getting hurt because they need oil at $115 a barrel to balance their budget. But then you look at what's going on in the States. You have some 20%, it's estimated between 15 to 20% of the junk bonds are energy related
yes.
from the shale boom. You look what's going on in Canada. They were talking about low interest rates. They're playing the same game. All of a sudden, they said they weren't going to lower their interest rates. They have, because they're hoping to export more. So it's a price war. And what you have going on is that the price, will the price of oil go back up? If there's enough cutback of supply, yes. But demand has to also increase at some level. And it's not. So this is going to knock a lot of players out of the game. But it's not going to solve the problem.
Okay.
And the problem is that not enough people have enough money to buy what they need because the wealth is concentrated in the hands of, it's not even the 1%, it's the 0.01%.
Right, right. Okay, well, I want to ask you one final question before I cut you free. I know you've got some other things to go and do, but I want to talk a little bit about the shutdown at the U.S. ports that was going on over the weekend, all the shipping, and if that is related to the Baltic Dry Index that seemed to take a pretty significant dip yesterday. Are those two things related, and are those things that you're paying attention to or that we should be paying attention to?
Well, this has been a union issue for a long time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's really what it's about. And unions in this country barely exist anymore. So in the old days, this would have been standard operating procedure. I think it's only about 11% of the nation is unionized anymore.
Right.
And they're very weak to begin with. So this has been an ongoing union issue more than the Baltic Dry Index issue.
Okay. Can I ask you one other final question
before I
let you go? I got a great one from the chat room. If you were king of the world, how would you fix all of this?
Very simple.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do and we are doing on May 2nd, we're launching Occupy Peace.
Okay.
And it's from Kingston, New York, Colonial Kingston, from the most historic four corners in the United States. The only place where there's a pre-Revolutionary War building on each corner. And we're honoring thy founding fathers, who among them, beginning with Washington, no foreign entanglements. Now remember, this is coming out of the mouth of George Washington.
Mm-hmm.
This is a real commander-in-chief, not these little boys that drive pickup trucks, play golf, shoot pool, and play basketball. This is the real guy.
Right.
And he said in his farewell address, no foreign entanglements. Now, the world was at war back then. I hate when people say, man, it was a lot different back then. No, it wasn't. And not only Washington, but Franklin and Adams and Jefferson, one after another. No foreign entanglements. So how do we fix it? Bring home the troops. And every country abide by the same principles. Mind your own business. You have your own problems to fix. This has nothing to do with fixing people's problems. It has to do with fixing the mental disorder of psychopaths and sociopaths that get off on tragedies and murder.
Yes.
And no one wants to call them what they are. Instead, they call them presidents, chancellors, and prime ministers, mm-hmm. bow down, suck up, and roll out a red carpet and lick their feet and kiss their ring when they arrive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. And the second part of it is self-sustaining economies. And that means putting back up tariffs and putting back in regulations that would dismantled and dismembered to create the multinational one world order, which, by the way, you're also seeing taking form with the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Transatlantic Investment Partnership.
Yes.
They make up these BS words so you can't remember them, and they have nothing to do with trade. They have to do with multinationals having supreme law over sovereign nations, just to make it straight and get past the rest of the baloney. So, the second part of it is, if I were king, and to quote Mel Brooks, hey, it's great to be king. The other part would be self-sustaining economies. We don't have to deal with China. We don't have to deal. If I want to buy something, I'll buy prosciutto and Parmesan from Italy, you know.
Yeah.
I'll buy great wines from France. I like them better than California wines. You know, but we can make our own shirts, our own shoes, our own computers. We need self-sustaining economies. And most of the bigger nations are capable of doing that. And it goes back, by the way, and if anybody wants more information, not only do we have the Trends Journal, we have conferences here as well. And we just had one in December. And we launched our Top Trends of 2015. I'm mentioning that because also, as the energy prices are going down, there's growth in now alternative energies.
Yes.
And as we're seeing them, they're not alternative anymore. They're going to become dominant. From Julius Caesar to Grover Cleveland, the world's leaders went to their inaugurations and coronations in horse and carriage. When the automobile came out, it was alternative transportation.
Right.
And that's where we're going to see fossil fuels go, the way of the horse and buggy. Candle power to electric. So then it goes back to, if I were king, you're going to have alternative energies that are going to be dominant energies. That means, do you think that you want to see a disgusting freak show of sociopaths, psychopaths, and lowlifes? All you had to do was watch them go over there, from President Obama to Cameron, you name them, all over the world, past secretaries of state and current ones, going over to kiss the ring of the new king of Saudi Arabia.
Yes. Yep.
And everybody gets tight when ISIS cuts a couple of heads off. What did they? Already the new king's whacked off three.
Oh,
and
no,
he just
six.
Took,
I think we're at six now.
I lost count. Thank you for 87 last year,
right? That's right. Yes.
And so anyway, you think that they would be over there if Saudi Arabia's major export was broccoli?
No, I don't. I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Well,
king of what? Where's Saudi Arabia? Is that some place? I mean, the people would know where the joint was if they didn't have oil. So it goes back that the future is in our hands. What could be greater than peace? You know, it's so easy to get people to go to war and have young men believing in the baloney and putting their lives on the line and losing them. Mm-hmm. One of the major stories that should be in the media each day are the 22 veterans that are committing suicide on average each day.
The ones who are successful. There's 54 additional ones that are not successful in that same attempt. I mean,
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
how terrible.
A huge number. Huge number, yeah.
And so how easy it is to get them to go to war. And how difficult it is. How difficult it is. And how tiny the stage, if any at all, to speak about peace.
That's right. That's right.
What a mental sickness that has taken over the world. Hey, all those pharma guys and vaccination freaks, how about a vaccination to stop these people from their psychopathic tendencies and sociopathic ailments that are leading the world to disaster? How about a vaccination against war?
Well, I'm substantially anti-vaccination, but I would absolutely support one like that. I mean, these people are hanging their hat on the ideas of scarcity and competition, and that's what we see, the lies of scarcity and competition being, you know, prevalent throughout the world, and then they're seeking profit, which is not really a real thing if the money is all fake, and they're actually imposing real death and destruction, you know, around the world, in pursuit of this fictitious entity called profit, and that's where we're at. That's where we're at, you know. So, again,
I don't believe in the vaccination trip either, you know, in the way that they're doing it. You know, to me, it doesn't make sense a little child come out of a mother's womb and he's shooting this thing up with a combination of chemicals. He can't, you know, nobody knows, you know. Oh. Again, when I was a young guy, you know, there was no such thing as autism, and I grew up in Amazon, the first of the baby boomers. We were flooded all over the place. Everybody knew everybody. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like you didn't know anybody. This didn't happen like this at this level. And so is it vaccinations or, you know, well, by the way, here's something else that's been in my mind that we're going to be writing more about. This whole push toward artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And it really ties into vaccinations as well in the sense that, you know, there's other ways to do things. Artificial intelligence will be as great, as sustaining, and as original as artificial flavors, artificial coloring, and artificial foods.
Well,
it'll bring the same results. If you like artificial flavors, you love those artificial colors in your food, and you like artificially grown food, you know, with hormones and whatever else they shove into it, then you're going to love artificial intelligence. It'll be the way for you.
I'm just concerned that they're going to base the intelligence off of the idiots that are running things now. We're going to have
It'll be at that level. It'll be at a low level. And matter of fact, it's already happening. The artificial intelligence, you know, I don't know why people call these things smartphones. I call them slave phones.
Right.
It hasn't made anybody smarter that I've seen. If all this technology was so great, why are we in such problems? If education was working, why do we have the problems that exist?
Mm-hmm.
So, no, it's not going to do anything more other than it's just another line of artificial product.
Wow.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Oh, my gosh. Gerald, thank you so much for being here. Everybody go check out trendsjournal.com. Let's support Gerald Celente and all of the things that he does. Gerald, thank you so much. You enjoy the rest of your day, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks again for having me. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's, I tell you what, that's a lot of information, and I'll tell you, getting an opportunity to spend, that was almost 45 minutes with Gerald Celente, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what else we could possibly do for you guys out there, but I'm pretty much speechless at this point. Just absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Again, unfortunate that Ms. Hanshaw cannot join us today, but there are a lot of other things going on in the world, so I will probably just hop back over into the news. I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation with Gerald. I tried to get to as many of your questions from the chat room as I possibly could. He is just such an amazing guy. I want to go ahead also, since we have some time right now, about 45 minutes until the end of the show, I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines. If you would like to call in, if you have comments about some of the news articles or about anything that's going on in the world, or if you want to ask me a question or tell me that I smell like baloney, that's fine too. I don't even mind. But give us a call, 866-37-TRUTH, or if you can't spell with your phone like me, 866-378-7884. Again, that number is 866-378-7884. And if you guys, I will keep an eye on the phone board. If you guys have questions or comments or want to follow up on anything that Mr. Celente had to say, that would be super cool. Again, keep an eye on the phone line. And I kind of have to jostle back and forth between the chat room and the phone board. So you guys just have to kind of bear with me there for while we're bouncing around. But man, tell you what, Gerald Celente, that was awesome. I am just super impressed with that gentleman. Okay. Moving back into the world of current events and news, I want to hop back into some of the national stuff that we're talking about. We already talked a little bit about Ferguson, but I want to talk about that again because of these lawsuits that are being filed against the city there. The big, you know, reasoning behind this lawsuit again is that people are being punished for victimless crimes. A lot of these people aren't able to pay their bills initially, and then they end up going into this cycle of going to jail and end up having to go to another jail or pay some other fine, and it just becomes a vicious, vicious cycle. And that cycle was actually kind of one of the reasons that turmoil was developing there in the Ferguson area to begin with. Again, it's one of the reasons that tensions were boiling over there back in August. But in Ferguson, black motorists pulled over at a much higher rate than whites, according to a survey from The Times back in 2013. The city has an average of 21,000 residents, and it also has the highest number of arrest warrants in the state relative to its population. Listen to this. On average, they have 1,500 warrants per every 1,000 people. That means every person in Ferguson's right now, on average, has 1.5 warrants out for their arrest. That's crazy town. And that same year, back in 2013, again, Ferguson raked in $2.6 million in court fines and fees, mostly, again, related to traffic violations and other minor offenses. And again, that total made the city's second largest source of income, or about 21% of its total budget. But here in Missouri, any municipality is actually barred from making more than 30% of their general operation budgets from traffic fines. But according to state officials here, that threshold's actually been broken on a number of occasions, and there's now a legislative proposal to see if they can cap that at 10%. So, again, a lot of victimless crime and oppression going on in Ferguson, and finally a lawsuit, kind of our own anti-austerity measure here, I guess, or uprising, as it were, in the United States, which is great. Got a call from North Carolina. I'm going to go ahead and take this. Hello, caller from North Carolina. What is your name? You are on the air with RedPillReports.com. What's your comment, please?
Hey, what's up, man? This is Shane, yeah, from North Carolina.
Hey, Shane.
I just wanted to just give you a quick holler and say, you know, really, really impressed with the work you're doing on your own with the Red Pill Reports. I used to, I still actually do listen to Joyce Joe, and you know, I got familiar with you when you were on that, and when you took off, I was like, man, what happened to JD? I was kind of bummed, and just wanted to congratulate you on your new venture and the great work that you're doing.
Oh, Shane, that is so nice, man. I really appreciate that. You know, just kind of wanted to step out on my own, and we've been working hard to try and you know, do everything that we can do for you guys out there. Shane, what do you think about the overall version of the show? Are there things that you'd like us to change? Is there more topics that we can be discovering for you, or what can we do to be better for you guys out there?
I think I'd say just keep doing what you're doing, man. You know, you're definitely on the target. You know, just keep doing what you're doing. And another thing is, an overall comment on TFR. Man, I can't remember exactly when I stumbled across TFR. I used to listen to like Chris Geo's show once in a while, like on GCN or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know how it happened, but just, you know how it is. I'm always looking for new information and new things. And, I've been listening to tons of TFR now.
Yeah.
I mean, what a great network.
Oh, I can't tell you how excited we are to be a part of it. I love the fact that there's hardly any commercials. I mean, you're just getting a brain dump every single day. The hosts on the network are absolutely outstanding. Chris and Cherie have done so much behind the scenes that you guys don't even know about out there. I'll give you a quick heads up, Shane. If you go to truthfrequencyradio.com, you may or may not know this. There's a little search window there on the top.
Mm-hmm.
If you type in the word Blue Beam, a rocket ship will appear on Truth Frequency, and you can use the space bar to fire, and you can use the arrow keys to move around, and you can blow up the whole page. And I waste so much time doing that.
Nice.
You have no idea. I'm just telling you, it's awesome.
Space Invaders
X. Oh, dude. And you just don't blow up my show, but you can blow up everybody else's show while it's going on. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome, man.
I know, right? I know. Well, Shane, I really appreciate
it. Keep it up, brother.
I'm gonna, man. I appreciate it. And, I tell you, if you guys are out there sharing the show with people, we can't tell you how much we appreciate it. So, Shane, I love the call. Definitely appreciate you listening. And if there's anything we can do for you, send me an email, jd@redpillreports.com, guest ideas or comments or anything like that. And, we'll keep, doing what we're doing, and you take care out there.
Ta-da.
All right. Thanks, Shane. Ah, how awesome is that, ladies and gentlemen? We love getting the calls around here. Just super cool. Again, the phone number, if you guys want to call in questions or comments about the guests or about any of the articles that we're going over today, 866-378-7884 or 866-37-TRUTH, ladies and gentlemen. We'll get you patched into the call board at truthfrequencyradio.com. Love the calls. Love the listeners out there. Makes me feel glad that I'm not just sitting here talking to my cat, ladies and gentlemen, because, again, he's heard all of that before, and he's not interested at all right now. He's holding down a sunny spot over on the couch. Okay, moving on. Let's get back into some news right now. A Michigan man who claimed to have a bomb with him, drove his truck into a U.S. Coast Guard station on Lake Michigan early Sunday morning. The man, who remains unnamed currently, but according to CNN, is a 34-year-old. He drove his truck through the fence and onto the Grand Haven Coast Guard station. After breaking into the station, the man supposedly told the Coast Guard personnel that there was a bomb in his truck. No bomb was apparently found at the scenes, but officials are still investigating currently right now. No Coast Guard or other personnel were injured in the incident. partially thanks to a phone call intercepted by the Ottawa County dispatcher, according to the AP. And the intercepted call was allegedly from the truck driver, who stated during the call that he had a bomb in his truck and was planning on blowing up the Grand Haven Coast Guard station. So someone intercepted that call and got them alerted to the incident before it actually happened. And apparently he didn't even have a bomb with him anyway. So small town saved, a crisis averted apparently there in Michigan. Good news on that front. Let's see what else is going on here. Oh, there's an interesting report from the Pentagon. The Pentagon spent last year nearly $500,000 on Viagra. That's right. The Department of Defense spent more than $500,000 on the male enhancement drug Viagra last year, according to government contracts. Pentagon had 60 of these contracts worth $504,000 for the drug in 2014. All 60 contracts were awarded to the Cardinal Health Incorporated, which is a pharmaceutical distribution company based in Dublin, Ohio. This is my favorite part. The contracts were filed under the heading Troop Support. I'm sure. Let me just read that again. The contracts were filed under the heading Troop Support. I have this feeling that there's a joke in here somewhere, but I'm going to go ahead and digress away from that again. 60 different contracts from the Pentagon and the DOD for Viagra filed under Troop Support. Troop Support, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, we're going back to the phones, ladies and gentlemen. We have another phone call here. Hello, you are on the air, redpillreports.com. What's your name and what is your comment, please? From North Carolina.
Hi, JD.
Well, hey. Hello. What's going on, Francis?
How you doing?
I'm fantastically wonderful.
Well, good. I was listening to Gerald Celente a little bit earlier, and I had to step away temporarily, so I may have missed some of it. But did he have any sentiment as to the aspect of the precious metals going up again like they were before they dropped dramatically, as well as let alone the fossil waste byproduct we know as gas or fuel or whatever?
You know, we didn't really talk specifically about precious metals, and I probably should have. He did seem to be fairly bearish on all commodities right now, but I don't know if that's just because everything in the commodity market, like he said, was kind of across the board down right now. I think probably there's going to be some safe haven buying going into commodities coming up in the future. I don't know how we could get around that with the ECB potentially, you know, destroying the euro as we go forward. There's going to be equity markets are going to be booming in places that are safe, like the United States, and I think gold as well. Francis, will you do me a favor and hang on past the break, and we'll come back and
sure.
Pick it up from there. Okay, we got to go to a 3-minute break, ladies and gentlemen. Again, the phone lines are open, 866-37-TRUTH. Feel free to call in. We're going to be right back after this 3-minute break, ladies and gentlemen, with your calls and more news.
Hey, Big Mouth. Yeah, you. Listen, I want you to put the word out on the street. Tell your coworkers, your family, your paisanos, that my good friend, Joe Joseph, is doing a good thing here. He's sticking his neck out for me, for Sill, and for all the people in the world. Isn't that right, Sill?
He's part of the family now, Deej.
That's what I thought. So tune in to him right here on Freedom Link, Monday through Friday, exclusively on the Truth Frequency Radio. Yeah, they're watching you. Big deal. They're watching me, too. They're watching everybody. So grow some cojones and give them something to watch and listen to. Make them earn it. Give them paperwork until they choke. That's right. I know you won't let me down. So you're going to put the word out about my good friend, Joe Joseph, right? Good. Now do me a favor and get out of here.
Doctors don't want you to know about iodine because it allows the body to heal itself quickly and permanently. Iodine Now is a complete powder formulation that will load iodine into the body with vitamin C for the best possible absorption. Iodine Now, available by the case and for protection from radiation, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including all heavy metals. We believe that this is the main element that humans need more than any other at this time. This formulation is infused with our bioactive aerobic rare earth nutrient powder that has a powerful negative charge that attracts positive toxins. Why not buy one product that does the job of 20 and saves you space, time, and money, has a storage life of 100 years, all for about $18 a month. Call 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Call 888-910-4367. 910-4367. Bringing back the universal medicine for mankind. Iodine Now. Only at HempUSA.org.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Sea Vault, 20 sea varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Evil contains within it the seed of its own destruction.
Truth Warrior with David Whitehead, Mondays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for sticking with me through that 3-minute break. We are kind of doing a open phone line slash news segment. We had a guest canceled on us today because she was under the weather, but she will be rescheduled, so we'll have her back to talk about everything that went down at the Grammys and everything that went down at the halftime show of the Super Bowl, which I'm sure a lot of you guys who were watching probably picked up on some of the occultish themes that were going on there. But anyway, the phone lines are open. Happy to be taking calls from all of you guys, and happy to have you guys in the chat room at truthfrequencyradio.com as well. If you guys want to get onto the phone board today, 866-37-TRUTH or 866-37-8-7884 will get you in line to talk to me, and we can have a discussion about any of the news articles that we've talked about today or the guest or anything else that you guys would like to talk about. And right now, we have Frances in North Carolina who called, and she was asking a little bit about commodity prices. And Frances, what exactly was your question, if you don't mind rephrasing it there?
I was just kind of wondering about whether or not the precious metal cost is going to go shoot back up again, let alone the waste byproduct known as fuel or gas going to be shooting back up like it was before. But I think in a nutshell, what it comes down to is that what the international bankers are doing to shoot that cost up, if at all, and why are they going to bring it back down so dramatically as it has been.
Mm-hmm.
As for the show, fortunately, end up seeing part of it, which was a nightmare because primarily part of it was for dumbing down your intelligence.
Right.
Secondly, the fact that they had Katy Perry coming out as a flaming queen out on the line. It was like, okie dokie. That was just too in your face idiocy about how she's being promoted, so-called banking elite or whatever you want to call it. So,
right. That's why I wanted to have Jamie on. A lot of people probably, if she didn't make the prediction on our show, but Jamie does a show with Freeman on Freeman TV. They do a weekly show. And about 2 weeks ago, she was making a comparison to some of the Monarch programming that they put on these people has to do with, ancient bloodlines and things like that. And she was talking about how potentially Katy Perry could be likened to the whore of Babylon. And one of the things that she said in this interview a couple of weeks ago was that one of the notable things that she was expecting at the Super Bowl was that Katy Perry would potentially come out riding some kind of mechanized, lion or tiger kind of thing. And that's exactly what we saw. And I think it's really interesting when somebody can look into the past and say, you know, this is historically what these people in terms of their symbolism, this is what they're going to be using. And then, you know, not 2 weeks later at the Super Bowl, we have the whole, floor looking like Solomon's Temple with the black checkered squares and the capitalist pyramid. And of course, Katy Perry coming out riding the big mechanized lion. I just thought it was very uncanny that Jamie Henshaw would say there's potential that this is going to happen. And then that's exactly what we see at the Super Bowl, you know?
True. Then again, I tend to wonder or question as to where or what intel or whatever came in to Jamie to give her that sort of impression of what could possibly happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting too. Probably just because Jamie has been so in tune with this stuff for such a long time. She's been paying attention and researching this. She's written a couple of books about it. So, the Monarch program, you know, obviously goes back quite a ways in terms of, the CIA history and things like that. And she's been all over that for a long time as her main, arena of research, I guess I should say.
True. Well, all I know is this, is that all the alphabet soup agencies, as well as the Federal Reserve, as well as the IRS, should be abolished, period.
Yes.
In a nutshell.
Absolutely.
Well, the U.S. would be in a lot better shape, not to mention the rest of the world, because there would not be all these bloodthirsty, arrogant, greedy, hedonistic wars that are going on, or rumors of wars, because they're using drones to do the actual bloodshed and all that. And these people that they're attacking, what do they do to us people in the U.S.? Nothing.
Exactly.
They want to be left alone.
Mm-hmm. Just like everybody else does.
As far as the people in Israel goes, the people in Palestine need to be left alone, as well as in the Gaza.
Yes.
Leave alone. Stop with all this tit-for-tat sort of garbage that's been propagated. I mean, totally turns my head upside down. I'm like wondering, okay, where does common sense get thrown out the window?
Oh, I think we've been off the common sense train for about 200 years now, to be perfectly honest. And, you know, the big thing with me is that we have these talking heads on TV, and what are they talking about? Exporting democracy. That's the whole name of the game all the time. These people are in a humanitarian crisis someplace and they don't have freedom. We need to export democracy. And I always think, shouldn't our main export be liberty? Shouldn't understanding that everybody has the right to, you know, self-protection and to being able to be sovereign, shouldn't the concepts that made our country amazing be those concepts that we're actually trying to distribute to the world, as opposed to this imperialistic search for profit talking about scarcity and competition, which are both lies? It's a nightmare situation that we're in right now, Francis. And I don't know how to get out of it, but I agree with you that, nobody should be paying the IRS anything at this point. And that's to me the best way to do it. Just withdraw your consent and stop feeding the beast. Just on every level that you can possibly imagine, just stop feeding the beast and we'll let it fall apart. But that's the only hope that I've
imagine
got right
that
now.
Thought.
Oh, wouldn't that world
imagine
be something?
Imagine that thought.
Right?
Well, rest assured, when it comes up for the next election or whatever's going on, I'm going to be out there at the local precinct protesting the garbage that's going on with that, because the vote is a joke. I know I've had it told me, well, you have to vote, or if you don't vote, then you can't complain. Guess what? I have every right as a U.S. citizen to complain about who got voted in, because, for one thing, the puppets have already been chosen. The people are given an illusion that their vote actually does any good.
That's
period.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty anti-vote, to be perfectly honest, because first of all, people think that their civic duty stops with voting. They think, oh, I did my thing. I voted the one day of the year that I did something.
Yeah.
And second of all, I recognize that the country is not a country anymore. We are a for-profit corporation, and there are plenty of indications to make that case very, very significant, that we have a for-profit corporation. And I'm not of the opinion that any place in history there's ever been a for-profit corporation that has elected via a public election their president. So that's first and foremost. Second of all, I don't want anybody who is tied into a for-profit corporation pretending or believing that they have authority over me. I'm of the opinion that if you want a master, by all means, go out and vote for one. But I personally, I'm perfectly competent of being my own master, which is kind of the whole concept of our constitutional republic here. And I'm going to follow suit on that by self-governing. And I'm very capable of doing that. And I think that that's everybody's responsibility to understand that that's way more important. And that I'm of the opinion that by not voting, you have just as much right to complain about things, because the corporate structure of the situation is not debatable at this point. There's not a government that's working for your benefit out there. It's only a corporation with profit as an interest. And that's it. You know, people talk about the continuity of government and all these plans that the government supposedly has to make sure people are okay. But that's not the case. The continuity of government has nothing to do with the continuity of your well-being. It has to do with the continuity of the game. They want to keep their own power. That's the whole, all of these institutions, all of them, only exist to self-perpetuate, and that's the bottom line. So we need to allow them, or, you know, force them into stop self-perpetuating, I guess. That's my goal.
I've come to realize that this corporation nation has been nothing but that, because, quite frankly, well, it's taken me a while to come to that realization, mm-hmm. because, quite frankly, there are the people think they have representatives up in D.C. Yeah, right. You're sending them there so they can build up their retirement account or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
not
exactly.
To mention lobbyists that they're working with and so forth, and lawyers. So it's ridiculous.
No,
so
it's
you basically have to petition and lobbyists in D.C. and get the corporations out of D.C. in order to actually go back to law, which is the people themselves.
I agree. And I don't know how we're going to do it, but, you know, I completely agree. It is a corporate criminal cabal that is going on all around the world right now. And it's been going on for so long that they have so much power, you know, that they control everything. They control your education. They control the entertainment. They control the media. You know, we're up against a major hard place here right now. My real only hope is that the economy fails. You know, I'm hoping for a crash that's large enough that everybody collectively kind of pulls their head out of the sand and says, wait a minute, how did we get into this mess? And how is it that the global elite have 50% of the wealth on the planet? You know, I mean, it's obvious that we have run this game to the full course that it can possibly go to. And now everybody, I feel like we're all in that, remember the old Wile E. Coyote cartoons where he would run out past the edge of a cliff and he would just float there because he hadn't actually looked down yet. I feel like we're all in that position. We're all kind of out there, but none of us have collectively actually taken that look down, you know, and that's where we're all at right now, just floating on there. So, well, I'll tell you, I'm glad that you're on our team, Francis, to be honest. I'm glad that you're out there as a listener, and I'm glad that you're somebody who is open-minded enough to start, you know, learning about this stuff, because, you know, the thing that you just said about how you're kind of coming to the realization and it's taken some time to understand that there is a corporate structure to our government, that's a very important thing, and it's a very scary thing to learn, because you learn very quickly what the real scope of the landscape looks like. So I commend you for even having the open mind that's necessary to even consider things like that. So, love having
that's
you as a
true.
Listener. Really appreciate you calling in today, Francis.
Well, thanks so much. I think what started off with me long, long ago when I was a kid was that no matter who they put in the puppet for the presidency, mm-hmm. nothing ever changed.
No.
Nothing
not,
ever changed.
Not down here at our level.
No. And when I realized that as a young kid in my teens, I saw no changes. I thought, well, this is a joke then. This is a complete contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the point? So y'all have a great one.
All right. Thanks, Francis. You take care, and we will talk to you again soon. Be good out there.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, another fantastic call from an old friend and a current listener. Love to have those calls. If you guys want to call in, again, the call lines are open right now, 866-37-TRUTH or 866-378-7884. We'll get you in line on the call boards, and I'm hoping that you guys have questions about the guest or comments about some of the news that's going on, and we're all in this together, ladies and gentlemen, so we're trying to do our best to kind of you know, figure out just exactly what in the world is going on. Okay, so while we're waiting for anybody else who would like to call in, again, that phone number, 866-37-TRUTH. I'm going to go ahead and jump back over into the news because there is, again, lots of stuff going on. Since we were on the subject of economy there for a second, I want to give you guys the update. Gold is down just a little bit today. We're sitting at $1,233 for an ounce of gold. Silver has broken that all-important $17 psychological barrier, and we are below that right now at $16.93 for an ounce of silver. Major indices going on right now. S&P is up just a touch, sitting over 2,000 at 2,055. The Dow is up almost 100 points today, so obviously happy days are here again. 10.7 and 53 on the Dow right now, and we'll check out Bitcoin sitting at 217.96, and the euro sliding just a touch against the dollar today. We're still sitting at 113 against the dollar right now. So that's what's going on currently in the markets. There was a big market story that came out this weekend regarding Moscow and Cairo. They're both planning right now to drop the U.S. dollar. Here's a theme that I think we've seen a few times given over the last year or so. But again, Moscow and Cairo met over the weekend and are planning on excluding the U.S. dollar and using their own national currencies in the settlement of accounts in bilateral trade. The issue of abandoning the dollar in trade is a quote-unquote being actively discussed. This is a quote from Putin himself as he told Al Aram newspaper. Again, this was ahead of his two-day trip to Egypt, so we can imagine that that is exactly what they spoke about while they were there. And also, again, a theme that we see kind of running around the BRICS nation right now. I don't know if I necessarily agree with Mr. Stalente about the idea that BRICS may not be that powerful. I think the missing ingredient to that entire equation is what is going to be backing the currencies of the BRICS nations, and what is this plan B that the IMF is working on? Could it possibly be moving to a partially asset-backed currency? Is it also unusual? And I tried to bring some of these things up today, and I don't know, maybe Gerald didn't want to talk about them as much. But again, G20 meeting in Turkey over the week here, kind of significant. A lot of people may not understand the way Turkey's economy works, but they have had the same model for about 600 years now, and isn't it unusual that all of these world leaders would be descending upon Turkey while they are discussing currency reforms? And again, Turkey, that has that 100-year-old program of partial asset backing and partial research backing, so their economy pretty darn solid. And I do think, maybe it's just me, that we're seeing the IMF start moving towards partially backing currencies around the world, and they're going to have to if that's what BRICS intends to do. Because if BRICS comes out and says, listen, we've got currency actually backed by value, maybe you guys would like to trade with us, I would think that the IMF and the Bretton Woods institutions would say, holy cow, our currencies just went way down in value because they're not actually backed by anything officially on the record, quote unquote. So what's going to happen there, I don't know. Definitely interesting to get a chance to talk to Mr. Salente today. I want to go back to the phone lines here real quick. It looks like we have a call from Arkansas. Hello, caller from Arkansas. You are live on the air with Red Pill Reports. What's your name and what's on your mind?
Hi, this is Ann from Arkansas.
Hi, Ann from Arkansas. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. Thank you, JD.
Awesome.
It sounds like you are too.
I am on my third cup of coffee. I'm doing wonderfully.
Oh, come on. You don't really need that to jack you up, I'm sure.
Nah, not really.
Careful with that stuff. A drug is a drug.
Noted.
Anyway, I just wanted to tell you how much I had missed you from Joyce's. Well, I guess I'm not supposed to say that.
Well, you can
but
say that.
I thought you were a great addition. And when you were gone, I thought, oh, my goodness. And then I found you.
Well, I'm definitely.
I really appreciate. I really. You know. And one thing that makes somebody a really good interviewer is knowing the right questions to ask, and you do a very good job of that. And I just wanted to tell you how much you're appreciated.
Oh, and that's like the nicest thing ever. I'll tell you, when I do an interview, my whole main goal in life is just to try and figure out what it is out, you know, that you guys would want to know out there. I try and figure out a way to ask an open-ended question, because I don't really like talking on the radio, contrary to popular belief. So anything I can do to get the guest on a roll, you know, is good for me. But I really just try and focus on getting, you know, any type of question that I think would benefit you guys out there. So again, the whole name of the game is just trying to get an open forum for discussion so that you guys get good information and are taking something away from it. So I can't really tell you how happy I am to hear that you're actually taking something away from the shows and are getting some value out of the guests. And that's just absolutely music to my ears.
Oh, absolutely. And you've had great guests.
Well, we try really hard. We've got a couple of guys, Robert and Fletch, the two co-creators of Red Pill Reports. They work like crazy people behind the scenes to continue to build the website and to continue to bring us these fantastic guests. So I couldn't possibly do this without them. All I really do is just sit here and talk. So I'm kind of the easy side of the equation. But those guys behind the scenes, I'll tell you, and I guarantee they're listening right now and are very happy to hear that you appreciate the guests that we're bringing to the show. I hope that it continues to ramp up from here. We've got a lot of good guests that are going to be coming down the pike. So I appreciate you listening, Ann. And if there's anything that we can do to make the show better for you, please don't hesitate to let us know.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course you can ask me a question.
Can you have talk show hosts from other networks?
We can.
There's one on one of the other networks with been doing a lot of wordsmithing, and he's really learning as he goes. And he listened to it. I'm sure he'd make a great guest. And that's Clint Richardson.
What was his name? I'm sorry. I got Richardson.
Clint Richardson.
Clint Richardson. Okay. Where is he at? What network is he on?
He's on RBN.
Okay.
And he's very interesting. He used to work in Hollywood. And making big bucks, he was, his job was putting sound in movies, videos, video games, etc.
Okay.
And he realized what a cesspool Hollywood was and then woke up to the fact that he was part of it and walked away.
Really?
And he struggles financially and he's got a program that he's just worked really hard. And what is very interesting, he's bright, very bright. And he has just made himself very transparent as he has learned along the way and just shared it with it. And it's very interesting.
Very cool.
And he's had some pretty, pretty interesting guests that come almost each week that are very versed. One is versed very well in the scripture as well as many other things. And he brings a little something different to the table. And then there are a couple of others. He's just fascinating, so you might want to check him out.
I can tell you right now, my producer is feverishly writing notes in the background, and I imagine that Mr. Richardson will probably have an email in his inbox before I get off the phone with you today, Miss. So oh, I definitely Martha. Appreciate the heads up on a new guest. And again, if anybody out there has guests that you guys would like to recommend, you can go to contact@redpillreports.com and shoot them over. Let us know why you think they'd be a good guest. And you know, we're here to meet the needs of the listeners, Anne. So anything we can do to make your day to day experience with the show better, that's what we'd like to do. So obviously, we will be reaching out to Clint Richardson.
And I know that you don't have time to listen to a lot of the others and don't catch everything that they're doing. And some of it, I move around, but I'm really glad that I found where you are.
Hey, as a question, as a follow-up to that, how did you find us, if I can ask?
Actually, I found you Truth Traveler.
Oh, from Aaron Dakin's show. Okay. Well, very cool.
Yeah,
very cool.
Really far from where I am.
Oh, she's not. She lives near where you are?
No. Doc does.
Oh,
no,
okay.
She lives in Indiana.
That's right. That's
but
right.
Doc is from us.
Well, awesome. And, that's awesome.
And I, she has some very interesting guests.
Yes, I'm telling you, True Traveler is one of my all-time favorite shows. She gets a little out there with some of her guests, but they're very, very interesting.
I was gonna say, off the edge, and I give her a lot of credit for that because that takes guts.
Yep, I agree. I agree. And it's kind of like coast-to-coast light, so to speak.
But then she's got this big veteran behind me.
Right.
He's wonderful, too, Brad.
Oh, I agree. Brad is great. He's just kind of taken over the co-hosting duties there at the True Traveler. So it's fun to see him kind of come out of his shell a little bit, you know. Well, Ann, I appreciate
he's more verbal.
That's right. Well, Ann, I've got to run, but I appreciate you calling in. I definitely appreciate you being a listener, and we will look into Clint Richardson and getting him on the program for you. And if, of course, if there's anything else we can do for you out there, please don't hesitate to send us an email. Okay, Ann?
Thank you.
Oh, of course. Thank you so much. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was awesome. Just so great to have you guys listening and calling in. Again, the phone lines are still open. If you guys want to get a last-minute phone call in, 866-378-7884. We'll get you onto the call board, and I will try and get you guys onto the show here. We've only got a few minutes left. Let's see what else we can talk about in the news right now that could be important. Probably should have mentioned the auto loan subprime crisis that's going on with Mr. Salente today, but just didn't have enough time to get around to it. But there was a great article in the New York Post today talking about the next pending bubble that could be bursting, being the auto loan subprime. A lot of people probably not aware that the loans that have been issued to new auto purchases lately, they have drastically reduced the requirements, very similar to the way they drastically reduced the requirements necessary to buy a home just a few short, 8 years ago or so. So did that again, and they're doing it in the auto subprime industry as well. So that could be another big bubble going down there. Let's see here. Checking out the chat room. Not a lot going on towards moi. Let's see here. What else is going on? I'm going to get away from the economic stuff. As I said, we've only got about a minute and a half left. So I'm kind of just bouncing around trying to see what are the major stories that I wanted to cover. Oh, huge one about SpaceX tonight. We talked about them. They were attempting to launch their rocket on Sunday, and then it was postponed until yesterday. Well, today is officially going to be another attempt, I guess we'll say. Tonight at about 6 o'clock Eastern Time, SpaceX's Falcon rocket scheduled to launch the Discover Space Weather Satellite, also known as GORSAT, named after the inventor of the Internet, Al Gore. that's not true. I'm being facetious. I don't think he invented the Internet, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, they're planning on blowing that big thing up 6.05 p.m. Eastern tonight from Cape Canaveral's Air Force Station. This will be the second attempt at landing the reusable portion of that rocket on the floating platform. You guys remember the last time they had that rapid, unscheduled disassembly. I love the way Elon Musk puts things. He is just probably one of the funniest people ever. The way he's a rapid, unscheduled disassembly is what happens when you crash a rocket into a floating platform and it completely explodes. But today's effort is less likely to be successful than the last one, because the re-entry on this particular situation is going to be more extreme angle, and so it's going to come down about twice as hard and about four times as hot as the last time they attempted to do this. Again, they were about 50-50, they thought, last time being able to get this thing landed, and it didn't work out. So what happened last time is they actually lost some hydraulic fluid in some of the fins that are used to help steer and stabilize the rocket on its entry. And Elon Musk said specifically in a tweet yesterday that he himself topped off the hydraulic tank. So he knows for a fact they have plenty of hydraulic fluid this time. So again, I love Elon Musk, man. He's just got the grit. But I don't know if you owned a business and you were trying to do something and lost a, you know, $20 million rocket, if you'd have enough wherewithal to come up with a, you know, a funny little tweet about a rapid unscheduled disassembly. I just, you gotta, you know, when life gives you lemons, ladies and gentlemen, you make lemonade. And that's what this guy has done. And, just can't support him enough. So hopefully if you guys want to check that out, I'm sure, if you go to redpillreports.com and find that article, you'll be able to find a link in that article to the live launching of the rocket. Lots of news I couldn't cover today. Please go back to redpillreports.com. Check out any and all of that stuff. Really appreciate you guys being here today in the chat room. Love all of the calls from all of you guys out there. I hope you enjoyed Gerald Salente. We will see you again tomorrow. Take care, everybody.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information without the hate, hype, and fear. We are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.